This is Betty Trunell speaking for the First United Methodist Church and the Decatur Public Library. Our guest today is Mrs. Mame Foster, who lives at 3945 Newcastle Street in Decatur with her son and daughter-in-law, Jean and Sybil Foster. And we're recording at the Foster home on May 8, 1987. Mrs. Foster, I understand that you will soon be celebrating an important birthday. Which one will that be?
It will be a...
It will
be the 2nd of June, 103.
Oh, that is wonderful. Isn't that exciting? There are not very many people who celebrate that kind of birthday.
No.
It's a really important event.
It's fun.
It's fun to know that you have lived that long. Where were you born?
In Lincoln.
Lincoln, Illinois?
Lincoln, Illinois. Oh. Lincoln, Logan County,
Not too
Illinois.
Far from here.
About 30 miles.
Right. Who were your mother and father?
My mother was...
Remember her name?
My mother was Lydia Fischel.
Oh.
My father was William Carriker.
Oh, those are interesting names. Annie, did you have any brothers?
I bet you can't spell it.
Oh, I'm glad I don't have to. That's right. Any brothers or sisters?
One brother.
Oh, just one brother. So you had a nice family, a boy and a girl.
Yes.
Can you describe your early childhood?
How or why?
Well, no, we know why, but how different was your home from home?
Well, I was just raised like any other little child in the home,
yes.
And my brother was quite a few years older than I was, and I was pretty badly spoiled, no doubt, but
yes. They loved having a little girl.
Was well protected and cared for, and we were like a great many other people, very poor people at that time, and that was the beginning of my life, and it has always seemed like it was a good life to me.
Well, great. Let's talk about your house. Did you have an inside bathroom in your house?
No.
So you had... go outside for those
and then after my father, as I said, was a blacksmith.
Oh, great.
And he worked in a mine.
Oh.
When I was born, we lived in Lincoln, and he worked in this mine, not as a miner, but a blacksmith to take care of the tools that they used.
Oh.
And he did that until he thought he had better work at this, well, among the farmers, and Brockton and Paris and Charleston and those places, he thought he could do better, and we moved to this little Brockton.
Oh.
Went from somewhere, I don't know where, in a big wagon.
Oh.
And put everything in the wagon, and the horse. And it had rained just before we got there, and there was so much mud, and if you've lived up over there, you know how muddy it can get,
yes,
and those horses stopped.
Oh.
They couldn't pull it any farther.
Oh.
And we had to go into the nearest house, stay all night.
Oh.
I wasn't very old, but I can remember all of that.
Did they welcome you at this house? Were they nice to you?
Yes, they were very nice. We have always known them. In fact, I know some of the long, long family yet.
Oh, great.
They're...
Uh-huh.
But they kept us all night, and then they helped us get out. They might have had another... I don't know. They had horses, I suppose, too. I don't know how we got out. I don't remember that. But we got on into town then, and that's where we lived.
Well, great. How did your mother spend her time when your father was at the blacksmith place? How did your mother spend her time?
Well, with me. Just with her regular work.
A housewife.
Just a housewife, mm-hmm. taking care of the things that have to be done in a home, and a child that would have to be cared for, and having my dad's meals when he came for them. And
So just, she was a good mother and
housewife. If anybody came, she was a very good mother, a very good mother. She was not very good about visiting or getting out among people. My dad was like that, but she wasn't. Mm-hmm. But she was all for having them in her home.
Oh, well, great. How did she dress you when you were little? What kind of clothes did you wear?
Oh, she made them.
Oh.
Of course, because there was no place to buy them and she wouldn't have the money. I don't.
And,
She made them. Of course, she had to do a great deal of it by hand, but somehow she was able to get a sewing machine.
Oh, great.
And it was a Singer sewing machine.
Very good.
They were very good machines. And she did pick up knowing how to work the machine and sew, and I had real pretty clothes.
Well, good.
Because she could make me, I wasn't very big, and she could take a little piece of fabric and make a nice dress.
You must have inherited that skill from her, from what I hear.
I did.
Okay, now let's talk about your schooling, where you went to school.
Well, I went to school in Brockton, in Little Red Schoolhouse, two rooms, and it's still there.
Oh, good. Great.
And my son went to school there.
Oh, good. So it has a tradition in your family. What kind of teachers did you have?
Well, I don't remember too much about my teachers. There was never one that didn't plead that wasn't a good teacher, I mean,
and
I never had any complaint of any teachers. The one teacher that I do remember, my first teacher, I can give you her name.
Oh, good.
If you want it.
Sure, let's hear it.
Jenny Romack.
Oh, that's pretty.
He was she was a maiden lady, never did marry. Her brother was the, no, I can't tell you.
Well,
had a drugstore. He was a pharmacist.
Yes, pharmacist, good, did you attend high school?
I went to high school, but I went to high school in Sydney.
Oh.
Because my brother lived there, he and his wife lived there, and I went there and stayed with them.
Oh, so that let you go to finish your high school.
And then I went back, was only 3 years.
Oh.
But then it was,
that was,
and of course it wasn't like it is now, because you couldn't have your last tests and everything. You had to go to Champaign to.
Oh.
And my brother would take me.
Well, but you did finish high school.
Yes.
And when were you married?
I was married in 1906.
Oh, and how did you meet your husband?
Well, I don't know.
You just knew him?
Yes, I do. I do know. They lived. He was a farm boy.
Oh.
They lived on a farm, and his father died when he was about 13 years old, and his mother stayed on the farm a while and then moved to Brockton.
Oh, and that's where you met.
Their home, their farm was only 5 or 6 miles from there, I guess. Anyway, they lived in town, and I learned he had a sister about my same age.
That's all right. We'll just ignore the telephone.
And
And he had a sister.
He had a sister, and I learned to know her, was with her, and then he delivered ice to people.
Oh, well, that's different.
And that's how I learned to know
her. That was before people had electric refrigerators.
He had an ice.
He must have been pretty husky to carry those big blocks of
ice. You know, now I can see, and then I can see whenever I went any place, those great big tongs that they held them. Oh, great big. My family never had any icebox bigger than, you couldn't use anything only, I think, 25 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But enough to keep milk
keep the
and butter.
Food good. Okay. Now, was that his regular, that wasn't the only job he had?
Jean is the only one.
I know, but I'm talking about your husband's work now. The only job, didn't he have another job besides being an ice man? Didn't he? Did your husband ever work for the railroad?
Yes,
that's what I
was
going to
say. After we were married, he was car builder.
Oh, at the railroad.
Worked in Oklahoma, in Danville, in the CNI railroad shops.
Well, that is really
until in 1922, there was a big railroad strike.
Oh.
A huge one, all different roads. And he was not a union man. And they would let him work, and he did work.
Did he have any trouble?
He did work a little while, but you know how.
They made it hard for him.
Union men can't work with non-union,
or
backwards, I mean. Non-union men can't work with. And so we just went back to Brockton.
Oh, uh-huh.
I did.
Then did he get another job?
No.
Oh.
But he could do anything.
So he worked on the side.
He was very resourceful about everything, and mm-hmm. saved everything.
Yes.
You know, we used to buy a load of kindling from the lumber yard. You know, you could.
Yes.
In Danville, you could buy that, and it'd be all kinds. It'd be little bits of narrow pieces, and he made things out of that.
Well, that is resourceful.
He made an outside, not a swing, but like the swings. I could show you the picture.
Well,
I have even pictures taken of those things.
Yeah.
And
he sold these?
And he made he made desks.
Well, great.
He made a desk for Jean. I wish I'd always kept it, and I don't really know whatever did below. Whatever happened.
Now, Jean was your son. Is your son.
Jean,
he still lives here.
Jean is my son.
And your only child?
J.P. He has that's a family name. My husband was J.P.
Uh-huh.
My son is J.P. And I've got a grandson that's J.P.
That must be a French name, J.E.A.N.
Well, I don't know.
He
used to say that he thought his family was Scotch.
Oh, well, it could be.
But I don't know.
He was your only child.
Yes.
And how did you manage when your husband was at work? Did you have any problems raising
children? Well, of course, you know, you always have a lot to live on in your home. And, he could just, somebody'd want something done, you know, that you could, if you was handy, you could
take
help to work a little.
Right. Now, where were you living at this time when Jean was a baby and a small?
Where
were you living? In what town were you living?
In Danville.
Danville, Illinois. Okay.
That's,
and your
that's
husband?
Where all the
railroad work.
All the problem was for us.
Uh-huh. Did you, when did you move to Decatur?
Well, that's another something I have to think of.
Oh, it doesn't matter about the exact
year. We moved to Decatur when the power company, as I told you, Gene worked for Illinois Power in Champaign.
Yes.
And they did something and sent all of the men that they could away from, didn't need them in Champaign, sent them over here to Danville, over here to Decatur. I think that we moved to Decatur in about 41.
Mm-hmm.
We were living here when Gene had to go into service.
Oh, with the, for the war, a second
and
war.
I just stayed on mm-hmm. in my home and kept the home going, but maintained it until he
yes.
came back.
What was Decatur like at that time?
Oh, it don't seem to me like it was a very big place.
Oh, well, yeah.
About the main thing I think is this was that little old
transfer house,
and it was awful dirty
oh.
and hadn't been painted mm-hmm. very long, and just a little bench like seats
yeah.
on one side, on every side there was.
So they'd improved that.
That's the way it looked,
well.
and there was very few stores.
Oh.
But I think that corner, I think there was something where Backrax was, and
mm-hmm.
have you
right.
lived in Decatur, or do you know
not too long.
About the town?
No.
Well, they were, and there were streetcars.
Well, uh-huh.
It was before bus time.
And that's why they had to have the transfer house, where you transferred streetcars,
that's where we,
right?
That, and all those benches uh-huh. around there was for people to sit on.
Uh-huh.
And if there was any old folks that wasn't working and could get there, they'd sit out there and visit.
Well,
but,
that's interesting. Now I hear you worked, you had, well, let's talk about a sad event in your life, the death of your husband. It's must have been very difficult for you.
Well,
he died. When did he? Gene wasn't very old when his father died, was he?
Oh, he was around 10.
Well, yes, uh-huh. Well, then you had to take care of him. You had to get a job, I suppose, to
yes,
earn a living.
I've always had a job.
Well, let's talk about what you did.
Even before I was married.
Oh, okay.
I remember the first thing I ever made when I was, and I was a dressmaker before,
okay.
I was a drapery maker, and I got 49 cents for it.
Oh.
And why I got the 9 cents, I don't know. But I don't know why they didn't give me 50 cents instead of 49. Well, maybe I expect I did.
Yes. But now, then you went into the business of making draperies?
While I lived in Champaign, I worked at Robeson's.
Oh, good.
For about 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Altering clothes,
and they were, and I asked for work in there, and they didn't have any place for me. But finally, do you know anything back that far from? That would have been in. Well, I said 41.
Oh, of course, I can remember.
It had moved to Decatur in 41. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway. Ross Miller, who lives here in Decatur, I guess now, if he's still living, had charge of the fourth floor,
oh.
and the drapery department
oh.
was on that floor,
uh-huh.
and the woman that was worked in there was a very good drapery maker. And she taught me how to make draperies.
Well, that's a great story.
And while I worked there, we made draperies for the Virginia Theater.
Oh, those huge draperies.
Great big, it was dark red
oh.
velvet.
Oh.
and it was interlined kind of like outing flannel.
Oh.
And
what a big job.
That had to be with tiny stitches. Oh. That had to be fastened every so.
You did this by machine?
I thought for a while I'd never do it. Oh. I thought, oh, gee, if there must be a better way to make it.
Did you have to do that by hand or by machine?
Oh, machine.
Machine. Did you have big machines?
We had the machine to do it. Uh-huh. Well, no, we just had
regular sewing.
Oh, well, they were
machine.
Bigger than a Singer sewing machine that you'd have in your home, but it was no big machine.
Uh-huh. Right.
But she was just such a nice person, and she knew exactly what to do and how to tell me, and so we just worked together. Oh, I loved her, and we visited after I moved. She, however, her home had been in Decatur.
Oh, well, how interesting. You also worked after you moved to Decatur. Did you make draperies in when you were here in Decatur?
Yes, I did.
Where did you work then?
I sold draperies first in an old department store that was called Stewart's.
Oh, great.
And it was where Osco's is now, today.
Uh-huh.
And when I went to work, that's where they put me, just selling.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decided they make draperies.
When they found out how good you were.
And so I never did make any there, though. I did teach them how to do it, but they didn't have a place in there to do that. They didn't have room for it, I mean. So they made the draperies in a building that was over what is...
Where was it, Mrs. Foster? Where was this building? I believe you said it was over on the corner of Water and Prairie?
Yes.
Right. And after you moved there, then you were able to make draperies.
I worked at that store for about 8 years.
Oh, great.
And then I went to another store because they needed help. And the man that was managing the department was ill.
Mm.
And I took his place for a while, when he came back, they didn't need both of us. So I was out again for, maybe a year. And then a friend that knew me when I had worked at the department store was working at Quiggle's Furniture Store. Do you know where that
is
now?
Right.
And she became ill.
Oh, this must be a hard job.
She was quite bad, and she asked me if I would take her place while she was in the hospital so she wouldn't lose her job. And I told her I would. Well, I did. And I thought when she got well enough to come back, I would have to go to the hospital. But I didn't. Mr. Quiggle kept me.
Well.
And I worked there for about 15 years.
Oh, great.
And then I was retired in 64.
Oh. And
but I worked and earned a lot of money after that time.
That's great. And so now, since 1964, you've been living here with Jean, your son, and his wife, Sybil.
Well, I had surgery on both eyes, and I was awfully sick.
Mm.
And, in fact, I think they thought I was going...
But you showed them.
But I couldn't live alone anymore.
I see. So you can't.
And so they just
right.
moved me out here.
Now, I understand that you still do some sewing and craft work. You haven't forgotten your ability to make things, have you?
To make
items like, don't you do a lot of sewing and craft work, crocheting?
I could still sew if I could see. The only thing I can do with my hands now is to crochet.
Well, I saw some of your work and it's lovely.
And you can, when you're, before you leave, you can look in my sewing basket there and you can see but I can only make 2 stitches anymore.
Oh, well, that's enough.
And so I just make little square pieces all about like that, and some of them are round.
Well,
and I made them to use under flower pots.
Well,
you
great.
Can see I've got one under my my plant there. And that's what I do.
Okay.
And you could use them in the kitchen if you wanted to. Make those, and Sybil keeps them. And if she don't give them to somebody that wants some, she can put them all together in a bazaar time.
Oh, yes.
At
and
the church.
So
you can sell them for 10 cents a piece or something.
Well, very good.
But it gives me something to do.
Of course. Now, let's talk about the First United Methodist Church. Are you a member?
Always have been a member.
When did you first join?
I was raised a member. My father and mother were Moravians.
Oh.
They were married in the Moravian Church.
Oh.
And they have a great big Bible that I could show you up there that has pictures in it that the minister gave them when they was married.
Oh, what a nice idea. That is lovely.
And so then when they didn't have a Moravian church to go to, they went to the Methodist church, and I've been a Methodist all my life.
Oh, good. And then when you
and I was
married.
I wasn't. Of course, babies are always christened, but I was baptized when I lived in Oklahoma.
Oh, mm-hmm.
My husband and I took a notion that we wanted to do something, and there still could get
homesteads
out there, you know. We didn't want it for that, but we did go out there and prove up one.
Oh.
But my goodness, it was so sandy, you couldn't live on it, so we sold it. And I bet somebody's living on it now.
I bet.
But I would have died if I had stayed.
Then, when you came to Decatur, you decided to join the First United Methodist Church?
I went to I lived out on Webster Street in Decatur, and it was close to a little mission church, it was a church. I call it a little mission church, but it was on Cleveland Street.
Oh.
And that's pretty close, the street is close together, so of course I didn't have a car, and I went to that church. But I knew people that came downtown, and they would bring me down here, and I've always been at First United Methodist Church where it is now. I was there when they remodeled it.
Well, good. What activities in the church did you join?
Well, I didn't do very much work in the church. I never went to Sunday school.
Oh, you didn't?
And I never have gone to Sunday school since I was little and at home.
You were pretty busy here.
But I had my work to do, and I could not do very much on Sunday. I had to do the work on Sunday. And so I would get up early and go to church at the 8 o'clock service. I've always gone to church early. And then I come home and did my laundry and done my work, and I was ready then to go to work again.
Well, good. But you did join the Women's Association.
Oh, yes, I did.
The Wesleyan Service Guild.
Wesleyan Service Guild, I did that. That was years ago. You weren't here, of course.
No, not then.
When Dr. Lugg, he was here still then. And then Dr. Grumman, and then Dr. Forgot what the other one was. Dr. Cutlip was the last one here, and
Dr. Lloyd, and Well, you remember those ministers, and now let's talk for a minute about the Wesleyan Service Guild. An organization mostly of women or girls who worked, and they met at night.
That's the reason I didn't belong to something in daytime.
Yes.
I could have belonged to it and worked too, but I could get the.
You couldn't get away.
I could have the meeting and all by going at the.
Right.
Well, I expect somebody.
Do you remember those early meetings? What did they do at the Wesleyan Service Guild?
Well, we just had our meeting. We all gathered at the church at a certain time, and then it was just about like it is. It hasn't changed very much. The very meeting that was here the other day was performed just about the same as it, I mean, it was then as it is now, only we had lots of
members,
working women. Most of them were really, at that time when I joined the circle, they were mostly teachers. They weren't even married. It was wonderful.
Well, great.
And then there would be meetings at night that they would get together, maybe other things in the church if there was having a meeting or something, and I could go to those.
Good.
And so that's how but I've lived in that Methodist church. When Jean was gone for 3 years, in South Pacific.
Oh.
And I went to that church every day on my lunch hour.
Oh, good. And that helped you.
And prayed for him.
Yeah.
I have told Dr. Brownfield, he's the minister here now, and I told him that I felt like I was on hallowed ground, and I do, even yet, when I'm down at that chancel rail.
That is great. Very good.
Because,
it gave you so much help.
I love that church.
I love it. Mrs. Foster, do you have any grandchildren?
I've got three.
Oh, good.
Two boys and a girl.
Oh, good. Jean and Sybil's children?
They have three children, and it's their daughter that is married. They have two sons that are not married, and I hoped that one of them would get married, because, as I told you before, it was JP.
Yes.
And it won't be.
You want to have a boy to carry on the name.
It won't be anymore if they don't. Yes, Debbie has three lovely children.
Yes,
they were here last week.
Oh, good. Mrs. Foster, how do you feel about life today?
Oh, I think it's good. As I listen to radio, I guess I think it's better than it is in some ways, because I'm not in circulation like I used to be, so I don't know.
You don't know any of the bad things.
I don't know how things are exactly. And I will No, I'm not going to say this because I'll get into ad lib.
Well, go ahead. This is your chance.
I do believe. I'm all for. I don't mean that I don't think women should work. I do. But I think they should just be hired. I don't think they have to be discrimination.
Well, you manage very well.
I tell you, I think life today has changed so much that whatever we think good or bad, it's so different.
Yes, right. I suppose good in some ways and not so good in others.
And to me and a lot of older people, couldn't be anybody any older than I am.
And what about them?
Everything is science.
Oh.
I mean, scientifically.
So many changes.
Like the no, I can't say that.
Well, there have been many, many changes during your lifetime. Just imagine the changes, even during your lifetime.
There is so much difference. I think along about, I'd say I must have been about, 'bout the time I was married, things was changing an awful lot and getting better for everybody. There was
easier, more
to do and more coming in. They knew more about.
And people didn't have to work so hard.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And new things were coming. And of course, all they knew is long time ago. All they knew was to work, and they either worked in, as like my dad did, in a blacksmith shop, and or on a farm.
Hard work.
And the farmers, and even the farmers, were a lot different than what they are now.
Uh-huh, right. So things are better in many ways, right?
Oh, things are much better.
Well, good.
I think life's pretty good.
Oh, good, fine. And you think your grandchildren are going to have as good a life as you did?
Oh, much better.
Well, you had a very good life,
much
didn't you?
Much better.
You had a good long life.
Yes, I did. I did have a good life. Mm-hmm. But
and we thank you for sharing your memories with us, Mrs. Foster. And we hope you'll have a very happy 103rd birthday.
Well, I appreciate all this.
Good.
I will want you to know, and as I did want all those ladies the other day to know how I appreciated and loved the afternoon.
Oh, good. Well, this has been a real pleasure to talk to you. And I do thank you for sharing all of your experiences with us. And thank you very, very much. And happy birthday.
Thank you, thank you. I never got to tell you about my dad, my mother.
Well, go ahead. You still can. Go ahead. Go on.
Well,
what about your dad?
You didn't ask me.
Well, what about him? I'll ask you right now. What about him?
My mother was born in North Carolina.
Oh, good.
And on a little farm, I guess you'd call it a farm, and they raised everything and made everything, and they didn't buy very much at all. There was pine forests there, and my grandfather was a sawmill, and he made lumber, and he hauled that lumber to Winston-Salem, that's what it is now, and sold it, and he had, you'd have to take it on just the running gears of the wagon. Mm. And he took me one time to town with him. He would have taken more, but my mother wouldn't let me go. I sat up on the lumber going.
Was this when you were visiting?
Coming back, we sat on the running gears of that wagon. Uh-huh. And when he bought me, or maybe they gave him, I don't know, a nickel's worth of candy. And we ate candy and talked on the way home.
Well, those are wonderful memories, aren't they?
Oh, yes. But that was that my mother and my grandfather and grandmother, my mother's grandmother's name was Lydia, and I told you that before. His name was David. David and Lydia, but they had a good life because they lived there close to a little spring, you know, a spring of water, yes. And close enough that they could use that to keep their
instead of a refrigerator.
Their food. It was as good as a refrigerator because it was always cold and you didn't have to put ice in it.
Uh-huh. Well, very good.
Oh, dear.
You have any other stories you want to tell
But my
us?
Dad didn't have such a good home, he had a good enough home, but his father died when he was quite young and left his mother with six sons.
Oh. Well, that was hard.
And as soon as he could, it was close to Civil War time, you know,
yes.
And he joined the Army. And
your grandfather?
My father. Yeah, I was talking
your
about
your own father.
I was talking about my mother, my yeah. grandfather. Yeah. But
your own father was in the Civil War.
Yes.
Well,
3 years.
Oh, and came out
on foot.
Came out all right.
Came out on.
Well, how fortunate.
Lived to be 90 years old.
Oh well, your family has a long life. Do you have any other stories to tell us?
Oh, I could. I'm afraid if I started to tell, it'd be like this. So I appreciate your kindness.
Oh. Well, you were the one who was kind to us, and we do thank you.
Are you going to put this in paper?
No, I don't. Well, it might be. Sometime.
I wish it would.
Then we won't. But it's going to be just kept at the library for anybody who might be interested.
Oh, no, I don't care.
Well, that's great.
I don't care.
Okay.
But I've done this twice. This this cousin she just wanted it. She just wanted my voice.
Yes.
She just wanted to visit.
Well, that's what we've been doing.
Like,
very
so.
Good. Well, once again, we do thank you. And we'll remember you on it's June 2nd that it's going
yes.
to be, and we'll be.
And I will be 103.
Well, great.
Well, of course, there's a little time between now
yes,
and then.
Yes, there's a little
you
time.
Can't never tell.
Oh, you'll make it. You'll make it. You've made it this far.
I suppose.
And I do.
I think they're going to make a mummy out of me and stand me up in the corner. Oh, do you live in town?
Yes, I do.
Well.
But I'll close this off now and thank you once again, Mrs. Foster.
Well.
You have been listening to the experiences of Mrs. Mame Foster, and this is Betty Turnell speaking for the Decatur Public Library and the First United Methodist Church at Decatur.